Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. We're so excited that you've joined us today as we continue in this powerful series, How the Church Meets Your Deepest Needs. Together, we're uncovering the joy and strength that comes from being a part of God's family. Well, let's get into it with the final part of a message called Sharing Your Hope with Others.
Now, how do I share my hope? Let me give you some practical steps. I'll give you 6 practical steps, okay? How do you share your hope? Number one, real simple, write it down. Live it. Live it. Live your hope. Live a life of hope. Long before you ever talk about it, just live it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says this, live such good lives among your unbelieving neighbors that they see, circle that they see the good things in you, the good things you do, and then they will honor God by believing. Live in such a good way in front of your unbelieving neighbors, they see the good things you do, and they will honor God by believing. What does that verse teach us? That you need to be an audiovisual believer. You got to both walk the walk and talk the talk. You got to be audio and you got to be visual. You've got to live it in front of others. I told my staff the other day, talking about our culture, if they like what they see, they will listen to what we say. If they like what they see, they will listen to what we say. So we start by sharing hope, by simply living hopeful lives. Now, this involves a lot of times just being nice to people. Why? Because you cannot win your enemies to Christ. You can only win your friends. They've got to become your friends before they can become Christ's friends. See, before people say, is Jesus real? They want to know, are you real? Before they want to know, is the Bible legitimate? Can it be trusted? They want to know, are you legitimate? Can you be trusted? Before they want to know, is everything that the scripture teaches credible? They want to know, are you credible? So it just starts by being nice to people, building bridges of friendship. Outreach, evangelism, witnessing is simply you build a bridge of love between your heart and theirs, and Jesus walks across. That's why Romans 12, verse 13 says this, 2 words, practice hospitality. Romans 12, 13, practice hospitality. What is hospitality? Well, it's just making people feel welcomed and wanted. It means living your life in such a way you invite them into your home. You share meals with them. You have a barbecue with them. You go to a game with them. You live your life with them. I could give you so many illustrations. Do you know that in the first 2 years of Saddleback Church, every Tuesday and every Thursday, we had people in our homes for 2 years. Kay cooked the same meal every week, so we didn't have to worry about what to buy or the planning. It was all about having people in our home, showing hospitality. And in the first 2 years of this church, every single person who came to this church was invited to my home. And we did it for 2 years. Every single person got invited to a meal. This church was built on hospitality. The A in Saddleback's name, which is now All Nation Congregation, used to be Atmosphere of Acceptance, which is the hospitality point of our values. Why? Because we didn't have an H in the word Saddleback. So we called it Atmosphere of Acceptance. So you've got to live a life of hospitality and love in front of people, and a life of hope. Then number 2, after you live it, learn it. You need to learn more about the hope that is within you. You know you've got hope, but you may have a hard time expressing it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this, always be ready to answer anyone who asks you to explain the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. Did you know that never in the Bible are you told to share your faith? The Bible says share your hope. Never in the Bible are we commanded to share our faith. We are commanded to share our hope. And it says, do it with gentleness and respect. Here's the third thing. You got to live it and you got to learn it. Here's number 3. Apologize for not sharing sooner. Now, let me explain this. What do you mean by that? Apologize for not explaining sooner. Okay. Picture this in your mind. Do you have people in your life who are not believers and you've known them for a long, long time, maybe 5 years, 10 years, maybe even 20 years? You may have lived next to a neighbor forever and you've never talked to them about the Lord. And now you're kind of embarrassed because you've been neighbors so long and you've never talked to them about it. And now you feel awkward about bringing it up. How do you break the ice in talking to somebody about the Lord that you've known for some time and have never talked to them about it? Just apologize. Now, here's how I would do it. You go, let's say you got a next door neighbor. You've never talked about the Lord, never invited him to church. And you go to him and you say, let's say his name's Joe. You say, Joe, I need to apologize to you. Now, that's going to get their attention right off the bat. Okay, what have you done wrong? I need to apologize. And they say, well, what? Sure, yeah, well, you know, whatever. What do you need to apologize for? Well, you know, friends don't keep secrets from friends. And I consider you to be a close friend. You're a good friend. You've been a good neighbor for many years. And I've never talked to you about the most important thing in my life. And I'm really sorry. I'm embarrassed about it. Because honestly, I kind of thought that if I shared it with you, you'd think I was a nut or a kook or some goofy person. And I really thought that maybe you'd think less of me. And I know that's dumb, and I'm sorry. I should have thought more of our friendship. It's stronger than that. I know that. And so I ask you to forgive me. Now the guy's dying to hear what you're going to say. And you say, you know what? I just need to tell you that the most important thing in my life is my friendship with God. I've learned how to have a relationship with God, and I'd love sometime to talk to you about it and tell you about it. Well, now you've just opened the door. So apology evangelism is the way you start with somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. You know, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. It's a very difficult verse to translate. If you read it in different translations, it's all different ways. But I think that today's English version gets the closest to the original meaning of the Hebrew. And Proverbs 12, 26 says this in the TEV. The righteous person is a guide to his friends. The righteous person is a guide to his friends. And what you want to do, if your friends are somebody, you want to guide them in the right way. You care enough about them. You want them to spend an eternity in heaven with you. You don't want to be separated from them from eternity. And a righteous person is a guide to his friends. Another verse, Proverbs 17:17 says, friends always show their love. And the most loving thing you can do is to show somebody how they can have their past forgiven, get a purpose for living, and get a home in heaven by opening their heart to the grace of God. Friends always show their love. It's unloving to not tell people the good news. All right? Let me give you a fourth thing you can do. You can practice this week. You learn it, and you live it, and you apologize for not talking about it. Number four, listen first. Listen first. And by the way, ask questions. Write that down too. Listen first and ask questions. You will always bring more people to Christ by listening to them than by talking to them. Why? Because everybody on this planet has a deep, deep hunger to be listened to be understood, to have their feelings validated, to not just blow it off, but to really listen. And very few people in this world care enough to actually listen to people, to their neighbors and friends. That's why people pay big money to go to counselors, because very few people care enough to actually listen to their friends. Your ear is a great tool for showing love to someone. This is a huge tool. Proverbs 18, verse 13 in today's English version says this, always listen before you answer. If you don't, you're being stupid and insulting. Now, you remember that verse earlier we talked about, said always be ready to share your hope and always be ready to give an answer to people who ask you about the hope that's in you? Well, the second part is always listen first before you share it. Always listen. And that's where you're going to find the key to their heart. Proverbs 20, verse 5, today's English version says this, a person's thoughts are like water in a deep well, but somebody with insight can draw them out. That's a beautiful picture. A person's thoughts are like water in a deep well, but someone with insight could draw them out. How do you draw it out of people? How do you find their hidden hurt? How do you find their deep need, unmet need, their felt need? By asking questions. The way you draw something out of people is by asking questions. And then after they've answered the question, say, well, tell me more. And then ask it again. Well, tell me more. And what else? And you just keep letting them talk. You know, a lot of people are worried that I've got to go out there and prove that God exists. No, you don't have to do that. First place, most people don't doubt God's existence. There are arguments out there, theological and teleological arguments for the existence of God. The cosmological argument, the teleological argument, the ontological argument, Kant's moral reproof. These are all things, if you go to seminary, you have to learn the arguments for the existence of God. But you know what? Most people couldn't care less. Again, they're living at the emotional level. It's not your job to prove God's exist. It's your job to just show the grace of God to them. Now that goes in, and along with my fifth suggestion, write this down. Share your stories. Share your stories. You don't have to be going to the Bible for everything. Just share what's happened to you. Now this is called, as you know, your testimony. In class 401, we teach you how to write out your testimony. But you notice I say share your stories, plural, not share your story. Why? Because you have many testimonies. A lot of people think they only have one testimony, the testimony of how they came to Christ, how they were saved. But has God ever helped you with a financial problem? Then you have a financial testimony. Has God ever helped you with a relational problem? Then you have a relational testimony or marriage testimony. Has God ever helped you with dating? Then God, you've got a dating testimony. Has God ever helped you when you were going through a crisis or grief or you lost someone or you were worried or you were sick? You have hundreds of testimonies. You know, the power of a testimony is that you are the authority. You're not pointing to anybody else. It's that people in today's age go, well, you said it. It's you are the authority on your life. Nobody's a better authority on your life than you. Now, the Bible, of course, is filled with testimonies of people. One time Jesus healed a blind guy, and the Pharisees kind of came to him and tried to trap him with some theological questions and discussion, tried to pin him down in the identity of Jesus. And the guy was really smart, and he just resorted back to his testimony. And he did that because when you have a testimony, you're the authority on it. And in John chapter 9, verse 25, when they come and say, who do you think Jesus is? He goes, well, you know what? I don't know what you're going to argue about, but I do know this. I was blind, but now I can see. That's a testimony. You have lots of I was blind, but now I can see testimonies about parenting, about dieting, about sleeping well, about dealing with stress, about dealing with pressure, and all the other things in your life. You have hundreds of testimonies. Finally, let me give you one more suggestion. Number six, bring them to worship. This is one of the best ways that you can share your hope with people who are struggling without hope. Did you know that studies show that people come to Christ quicker when they do it in the context of a larger group of people rather than just by one-on-one? So when you talk to your neighbor, your friend, your coworker about the Lord, but then you bring them to church and they walk into a service and they see a lot of other people, hundreds of people, or maybe even thousands, who believe the same thing, that's called a corporate witness and has enormous emotional and spiritual power. And when people come and see other people together believing the same thing, it adds credibility to what you have shared with your friend. And your friend thinks, he looks around and goes, wow, there are a lot of people here who believe this. They couldn't all be crazy. I mean, they might doubt you, but they couldn't all be crazy. This is why Jesus wants us to bring people into his church family and actually bring them to worship services. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said this, go into the streets and everywhere else and invite anyone you find to come with you so that my house will be full. Notice that God wants a full house. He wants a full house. He wants everybody saved. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Care enough to bring somebody with you next weekend. You know, when you do that, you're going to watch, you're going to see church from a whole different perspective when you sit next to somebody who's never been in a service before. And you see all of the things go, now I get why we do this. Now I see why we do this at Saddleback. And I have seen the reality of Psalm 40, verse 3 happen thousands and thousands of times at Saddleback Church when people brought their friends to church. Psalm 40, verse 3 says this. Many people will see this. What? The service of worship. And they will worship him. Then they will trust the Lord. Notice that worship leads to outreach. Worship leads to conversion. Then they will trust the Lord. When people who don't yet have a friendship with God watch believers give thanks to God, like in singing, it is a powerful witness. And this is why the first church in Jerusalem actually grew to over 100,000 members in less than 20 years. Because the worship was there and everybody was bringing their friends to the temple. Acts 2, verse 47 says this. As they worshiped God, people in the community liked what they saw. And as a result, every day their number grew as God added those who were being saved. All right? Now, I've given you, five or so reasons why you should have confidence and six or so steps to just get going. Let me wrap this up by just concluding with why. Why do we do this? Why do we share our hope? Well, let me just give you three or four reasons real quick. Number one, everybody needs Jesus. The reason we share our hope is because everybody needs Jesus. You know, if I had the cure for cancer or AIDS or dementia and I didn't share it with everybody, that would be criminal. They should lock me up and put me in prison. If I knew how to cure people's cancer or AIDS or dementia or some other thing, it would be criminal if I didn't pass it on. We have something even better, how to have eternal life, past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. It would be criminal to not share it with others. Look at this verse, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says in the Message paraphrase, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it, Jesus says. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Who doesn't want that? It's not like you're trying to get people to eat cat food or something. What most people reject is not true Christianity. What most people reject is a misconception of it. Jesus says, you got needs in your life, come to me and I will meet that need. I will give you rest. So we do it because everybody needs Jesus. The second reason we do it is because Jesus commands us to do it. We looked at those commands at the very start, that this church, Saddleback, exists because of his great commission to go make disciples. Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus said this, very, very sobering verse. Look at this verse, Mark 8, 38. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my message in these sick and sinful days, I will be ashamed of you when I return in glory. Whoa. Whoa. We do this because God commands us to do it. Do you care more about what people think than about what God thinks? Are you more worried about your reputation than their salvation? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Why? I mean, maybe if you're ashamed of Jesus, maybe you don't really have a friendship with him yet. You need to get to know him. Jesus commands us to share our hope. Third reason we share our hope is because we're grateful to God and we love people. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says, Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us because we know that he died for all. We are motivated by love. People ask me, what motivates you, Rick, year after year after year at Saddleback Church? I love Jesus Christ with all my heart and I love people. And that compels us. You know, there's a point where Jesus one time is up on a hill and he looks out the whole city of Jerusalem, and in passionate cry. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her brood, but you would not have me." Can you hear the verse that the passion had? "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." I have prayed that prayer so many times as I've been up on a hill saying, "Oh, Saddleback Valley, Saddleback Valley, how much I would have gathered you to bring you the good news." And then as we expanded to Orange County, Southern California, "Oh, Southern California, Southern California, how much I would have gathered you together and shared with you the good news of Christ if you'd just listen." And now I, with campuses around the world, I say, "Oh, world, how I plead and beg for you to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ." We do it out of love. Finally, the Bible says that you will be rewarded in heaven. That when you share your hope with others, you will be rewarded in heaven. Proverbs 11, verse 30 says this, "Good people give life to others like a fruit-bearing tree, and those who save souls are wise." Do you want to be wise? Save souls. You want to bear fruit? You want to be a tree of life? You want to leave a legacy? The way you leave a legacy is by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life." Romans 5:10. What a great promise. You will be rewarded in eternity for the people you brought with you. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Let me close in prayer. The Bible says that God wants us to be witnesses. But a lot of times, we're what I call Arctic River Christians. We're frozen at the mouth. And we don't say anything and we hold back. But Jesus says, if you're not fishing, you're not following. So let me encourage you to right now, in your mind, I want everybody to think of one person. Think of a name of somebody who you love who doesn't know Jesus yet, okay? Think of a name of somebody you love who doesn't know Jesus yet. And I'm going to ask you to ask God to give you the privilege of bringing that person into the family of God in the next year, in the next 365 days. Would you do that right now? It could be your greatest legacy that somebody's going to be in heaven because of you. Let me pray for you and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Father, you know everybody who's watching this video online and at all of our campuses. And I know that you've called us to make disciples, to be a witness, to share our hope, to not hold back, to be ambassadors for Christ. And Lord, if we don't do it, we're disobedient. We're not following your will. And so I pray that this message today will motivate each of us to get serious about the people in our lives that we love who still don't know you. Neighbors, friends, coworkers, people we meet in social settings. Now you pray. Say, "Dear God, I want you to use me to bring somebody to you." Just pray that. Say, "Dear God, I want you to use me to bring somebody to you in the next year. Help me to remember that your Holy Spirit is with me and I have the truth and they just have excuses. Help me to remember that everybody has the same longings and the same questions and that you are the answer to those and that everybody needs Jesus. Give me the love that I need to care enough to share your good news with those around me, to invite people to church, to share a word of testimony, to share how you've changed my life, and maybe even to apologize to someone that I haven't talked to about it that I've known for a long time. And I humbly ask for your help this week in Jesus' name. Amen."
Wow, thanks, Rick, for such an encouraging message. Hey, do you ever wonder if your life really matters or what on earth you're here for? Well, Pastor Rick Warren wants to let you know that God has a good plan and purpose for your life. And in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he lays out a simple, life-changing roadmap to help you discover and live it. This book has transformed millions of lives, and it could transform someone you love. And great news, it's been updated for today's generation. This edition includes a video introduction from Pastor Rick for each chapter, audio teaching at the end of every chapter, and two powerful bonus chapters on the biggest barriers to living a purpose-driven life. As you go through this book, you'll uncover that your deepest meaning and fulfillment doesn't come from success or status, but from understanding and living out the purpose that God created you for. It's an incredible resource for your own spiritual growth, but it's also one of the most effective ways to introduce someone you love to Jesus. In fact, millions have come to faith in Christ through this book, often just because someone like you gave them a copy. So we say, don't just get one, get several copies to share with friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors who need hope. Request your copy today when you give a gift to help Daily Hope share the gospel around the world. It's our way of saying thank you for your partnership. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.